Chapter 22, Biding Time. The little tavern along the road from Creskin to Gable didn't see the business it used to. This was due to the feud that had been going on for years between the two most powerful families in each village, the Laughlin family of Gable and the Montgomery family of Creskin. The feud had started with a rumor that Lady Montgomery and Lord Laughlin were having a secret affair. Rumors being what they were, it spread like a plague upon the two villages, reaching the doorsteps of the Montgomerys and Laughlins' respective estates. Lord Montgomery, none too pleased with the rumor, questioned his wife on the matter. Without hesitation, the lady denied the accusations and called for retribution against whoever started such a nasty rumor. Lady Laughlin was also shook by the tales of her husband's infidelity. In his defense, Lord Laughlin swore he would find the vile rumor monger. And so the search began. The villagers of Creskin and Gable were all interviewed, mostly by thugs working under the command of the affected lords. These thugs, being what they were, had adept methods of extracting information. However, under the pressures of these methods, the villagers' information was not always reliable. In the end, every person in both villages had been implicated by someone else, everyone except for a Creskin man by the name of Derek Kane. After much deliberation, the two lords decided that Derek Kane of Creskin was indeed the perpetrator, and had, in fact, scared all of the villagers into giving any name but his own. So it was decided that he would be hung in Creskin Square. Derek's last words, as he stood with a noose around his neck, were still remembered in both villages to this day. "All right," he had said, "quit pulling my leg." A few months later, it was discovered that Lady Montgomery and Lord Laughlin had been having an affair after all. Everyone felt horrible for old Derek, and since then it was common to say, when things of a tragic and unjust nature occurred, "There they go, pulling old Derek's leg again." After the adulterers had been outed, the feud began. All trade and general niceties were severed between the two villages, and this drastically reduced traffic passing the little tavern. A couple years after the feud, the tavern's owner decided to rename his establishment, Derek's Leg, as a tribute to the man whose fate the tavern shared. This night, as smoke poured from the chimney into the chilling air, a conversation about recent happenings sprung up among the patrons of Derek's Leg.
"I say it's not true," a man named Jensen said as the barkeeper poured him a small glass of strong-smelling stuff. "Too grotesque. Can't be real."
This wasn't Jensen's first drink of the night, and he was beginning to give off a stronger smell of alcohol than the drinks themselves. His wispy gray hair, which he usually combed over his bald dome, was now waving in the air. It gave the impression Jensen was a drunkard. Jensen was a drunkard.
"I don't know," said Bing, a fat man at a table behind Jensen. "I travel all over Effenleria, and I've heard these stories everywhere."
Bing's hair was slicked back, and he eyed a pocket watch set on the table next to his mug of ale.
"What do you think, Bart?"
The barkeeper, Bart, was behind the counter rubbing a glass with a rag. The rag was dirty and so was the glass, but Bart kept on rubbing as if friction alone would clean the glass.
"Don't know," he said and grimaced. "I hear a lot of stories and rumors, but you know what they say about rumors."
"See," Jensen barked at Bing, "people are getting all worked up for nothing."
He grabbed his glass and poured its contents down his throat. Then he wiped his mouth on his sleeve and continued.
"Listen to this one I heard. So this guy, this messenger, I guess they're calling him, one night he just walks into this couple's house while they're eating dinner, and he sits down at their table and starts eating their food. The young man asks him who he is, and this guy tells him he's a messenger. A real sense of humor this guy has. Then the messenger turns to the young lady and says her husband is a thief, and he stole the food on the table. So the husband gets upset and tells the messenger he don't know who he is or why he's here, but he'd better leave or else. And this guy's shoving his finger in the messenger's face, trying to be tough. Now listen to this. This is where it gets good," Jensen said. "The messenger gets up from the table and grabs the guy's finger. He tells the guy to tell his wife the truth or he'll break the finger. So this guy starts crying, and he tells his wife he's a thief and the food is stolen. The guy's wife starts crying and yelling at him. So he tells his wife he's sorry and asks for forgiveness. Next thing you know, The messenger breaks this guy's finger and strangles him to death. The wife runs out of the house screaming. And when she comes back with the authorities, they find the dead guy sitting at the dinner table and the word thief is written on the walls in blood. And guess what? The messenger is nowhere to be found. Jensen shrugged smugly. Now you tell me that story doesn't sound fake.
The barkeeper nodded, but Bing shook his head.
I'm not saying the messenger fellow isn't completely off his rocker, Bing said. But where there's smoke, there's usually fire, and there's smoke all over this land. Listen to this story I heard from a man claiming to have seen the messenger all the way down in Serrano. This fellow describes him as a man, bigger than he'd ever seen, whose hands glow with light.
Oh, I see, Jensen laughed. 10 feet tall and shoots lightning out of his bum. I can see where this story's going.
Just listen. I'm not making it up,
Bing said and stole a look at his timepiece before he continued.
So this man was riding his horse through the forest near Serrano when he saw funny lights in the darkness. He rode through the brush where the lights came from and found a dead body. When he inspected the body, he saw there was no head. So he panicked and rode his horse as fast as he could into the village to alert the authorities. When he got there, the officers were already outside the jailhouse, looking at something on the ground. It turns out they were looking at the head of a dead body in the forest, and the head had a piece of paper in its mouth. One of the officers pulled it out and saw it was a note. "I sold your children as slaves," the note said. Children had been disappearing in Serrano for about a year, and the officers had no leads. So the man told the officers he found a headless body in the forest, and they all went out there to retrieve it. However, when they got there, they found the messenger waiting for them. He had a hood over his face, and his hands glowed with blue light. They were all so scared they couldn't move a muscle. Then the messenger told them what happened to the slave trader, what happened to all who were evil. Then the messenger disappeared. The scary thing is, Bing added, the man who told me the story is a doctor, and he said the head of this slave trader wasn't cut clean. He said it looked like the head had been ripped off.
Bart swallowed hard and rubbed his neck.
Rubbish, Jensen said. Biggest pile of rubbish I ever heard. Glowing blue hands, please.
I'm telling you, Jensen, Bing argued. I've heard a story about that messenger from all corners of this land, and everyone talks about those glowing hands. I've heard rumors before, and the stories never match. The fundamentals change. All these stories match up nicely. This man, if he's even a man at all, is out there, and he's punishing those who do wrong.
Jensen waved an arm dismissively at Bing.
I heard another account, Bing continued, of a man who'd seen under the messenger's hood. He said the messenger has no eyes.
Now I've heard it all, Jensen said, and threw his arms into the air.
Well, you know,
Bart said, still rubbing the dirty rag against the dirty glass like a bad habit.
It's funny you should say that about the eyes, because I just heard a story of this messenger, and the eyes came up. But this fellow told me the messenger was blind.
Really?
Bing said with a curious tone.
Let's hear the story.
Well, Bart said, it wasn't so much a story as it was a conversation.
Well, go on anyway,
Jensen said, becoming more inebriated by the minute. He eyed his empty glass.
And I'll take another drink.
You sure you want more? Bart asked. You don't look so good.
I'm fine,
Jensen slurred. So, Bart said and poured Jensen another drink,
I was told the messenger is blind. Well, sort of. The guy said the messenger sees through the grace of the holy, but he can't see like we can. He told me the messenger works for the holy, and that's why he punishes evil. He told me the world needs to change.
Well, Bing said, sounds like that man has spoken to the messenger himself.
Don't know, Bart said. I didn't want to pry. But you can ask him yourself if you want. He's right over there.
Bart pointed at a large man in a white robe sleeping at a table in the corner of the tavern.
Oh, Jensen said with a start. Didn't even see him over there. Thought it was just the three of us tonight.
He came in around supper time and ordered water and potatoes, the barkeeper said. I talked to him briefly while he ate, since he was the only customer in here. He kept that hood down the whole time, though. I thought that was kind of weird. He fell asleep after he finished eating, and I figured I'd just let him sleep. Must have needed it pretty bad.
You know, Bing said tentatively, maybe we should just let him sleep.
Nonsense, Jensen said, and stumbled from his stool. I'm starting to like these stories. Good entertainment. I want to hear what this fellow has to say.
Jensen struggled to walk in a straight line, but when he finally reached the sleeping man, he tapped him on the shoulder.
Hello, he called. Hello in there. Anybody home?
The stranger raised his head from the table and looked at Jensen, and his large white hood shaded his eyes.
There you are, Jensen said. My friends and I were just telling tales of rumors going around the land, and we were wondering if you might have any stories to add. Have you tales to tell of the messenger?
The stranger grabbed his glass of water and poured the rest of the liquid down his throat.
I'm sorry, he said from under the hood. I have no stories to tell. But I do have a question for Mr. Bing.
Jensen turned his face to Bing with wide eyes and a foolish smile.
Bing, this man says he knows you.
Oh, really?
Bing asked nervously. His eyes darted to the watch on the table.
You must have misheard him, Jensen. Why do you keep checking your watch, Bing?
The stranger asked with a louder and clearer voice.
I don't know what you're talking about. Bing stammered and slid the watch into an open pocket. Waiting for something? The stranger asked. I think you have me confused for someone else, Bing stammered.
The stranger turned to Jensen.
I'm sorry, Mr. Jensen, but it would seem as though you're going to have to die.
What are you talking about?
Jensen exclaimed.
What I am talking about, Mr. Jensen, is the poison Mr. Bing put in your drink when you left to relieve yourself, the stranger said. He continues to check his watch, so he knows when it'll be a good time to leave the tavern and steal your horse. Probably about the same time that you, Mr. Jensen, lose the ability to breathe. Am I right, Mr. Bing?
Bing shot out of his chair and headed for the door.
This is preposterous. I'm not going to sit around and listen to.
The stranger raised a hand, and suddenly the tavern was bathed in blue light. Bing froze.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bing, the stranger said, but I just wouldn't feel right if you left. At least not until we've seen eye to eye.
The stranger stood and pulled his hood back from his head. He walked to the petrified Mr. Bing and looked into his eyes. Behind them, Jensen clutched at his throat and fell to the floor.
As you can see, the stranger said to Mr. Bing, I do have eyes.
Bing stared into the messenger's milky white eyes, felt a hand at his back, and another pressed upon his chest.
Sorry, Bing muttered. I'm so sorry.
I forgive you, the messenger said.
Bing felt the messenger's hand dig into him, and he gasped as his ribs cracked. Sharp pain seared his chest and warm blood poured down the front of his shirt. The messenger closed his hand around Bing's frantically beating heart, and then darkness enveloped Bing forever. The messenger mused. I thought it would be black. He dropped Bing's heart to the tavern floor and walked away, scattering a pile of blood-soaked gold coins along the bar as he exited the tavern. Bart stood alone behind the bar, still rubbing the dirty glass with the dirty rag muttering prayers with every breath he took.